This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Third and 16. Mahomes rolling out. Looking. Firing. Intercepted. Picked up by Cooper DeJean. Gets a block. DeJean is... touchdown! Now the Eagles get it back. We're going to run some clock, or maybe throw the dagger. Hurts going deep for it all. Devontae Smith! He has got it! Touchdown! For the second time, the Vince Lombardi Trophy is headed to Philadelphia. Eagles fly in Super Bowl 59.
I don't know about you guys today, but I'm just here for the Kendrick Lamar Drake feud, to be quite honest with you. I mean, I don't even know what the hell that is all about, to be quite honest. I just know that I woke up today and I'm hearing people. I'm driving in. I was listening to Joe and they go to Joe Goes to Break. I turn on Kiss 98.5 and I hear Janet and Nick talking about Drake and Kendrick Lamar. And I saw something on it last night before I went to bed, but I really have no idea what's going on with it.
Well, the whole feud started, I mean, when he released the song Not Like Us. That was
right.
That was where it all came
I know
from.
That there's something going on there, but something happened last night, right? Didn't he?
There were
some lyrics?
He performed the song, which in itself is just him attacking.
Oh, okay.
But he also had Serena Williams there, who is involved kind of like... It's a whole, like, he said,
all right,
she
we've
said,
already gone to a spot, yeah, where I'm you're losing me.
Well, Serena Williams, the
tennis
player.
That,
right?
I know
we're still,
yeah,
in the sports realm.
See,
we're
I know.
Still there.
I got you.
But she was there as, like, one of the backup dancers, and she was, like, someone that was... Drake wanted to have a collaboration with her, and she didn't want anything to do with it, but he was, like, kept pursuing it. She's like, no, dude, like, go away from me.
Wow,
and
okay.
So
I'm learning this. I didn't know this.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's a lot, but
and then did Drake tweet something or something like that last night? I don't know.
Not that I know of.
Oh,
he was
okay.
Like, from what Joe said, he was halfway around the world.
Right. Yeah. He's not even around. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hey, whatever. We had. That was the biggest drama last night. Apparently, in the whole 4 hours of the Super Bowl, the biggest drama last night that occurred through the Super Bowl was what happened at halftime between the Kendrick Lamar and his halftime performance and Drake, because there wasn't much drama in the game. That's for damn sure. Welcome to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. You feeling good today? How you feeling about what happened last night? I'm guessing you're feeling pretty good. Because even though the Buffalo Bills did not make the Super Bowl, even though the Buffalo Bills aren't bringing a Lombardi home to Western New York for a parade on Wednesday, which we all would have loved, even though you were really, you know, mad and upset and angry about it a couple weeks ago and had to go through all the hurt and the frustration and the emotion of it, I think last night at least took a little sting away in some way, shape, or form for a lot of people, at least for today, right? I mean, as we go on in the offseason, of course, time heals wounds, and you're still going to look back and say, I can't believe it, you know, Bills, and you rue the whole situation, them not getting there. But man, the Chiefs losing last night the way they did on the NFL's biggest stage like that was, A, to me, surprising. Not that the Eagles didn't have a chance, like, to do that. I think we heard from a lot of people who said, hey, I think that the Eagles could actually blow them out. It's just, who would have thought? Because the Chiefs just don't lose games like that. They just don't. I mean, the Chiefs, they play close games. and they generally wind up winning them. But when you play with such a small margin for error as they had all year, and then you go play a team with the kind of talent that the Eagles had, and you don't kind of make up for those little margins, then that's when things can really get away from you. And it did very quickly last night and very awfully for the Kansas City Chiefs. That was a beatdown. The score, 40-22, was not even an indication of how badly beaten the Chiefs were by the Philadelphia Eagles. By the end of the third quarter, I was looking, I think the Eagles, let's see, let me check this real quick. I'm going to look. The Chiefs had 275 total yards of offense, 275. They had 120 in the fourth quarter. So 155 before the end of the third, that's it? At the end of the game, you look at the numbers, I mean, they had the one long pass to Worthy for the touchdown, 50-yarder. And, you know, credit to them for that as they're trying to come back and, you know, it's the last score of the game. It's late in the game, and then that was it. The Eagles just kneel it out after that. But it was a beatdown. It reminded me of Super Bowls of when I was a kid, and every time you got to the Super Bowl, it was like big blowout. Now, some of you may remember, because we've had really good Super Bowls for the most part for like the last, you know, 25 years. But in the 1980s, really up until the Bills played the Giants and lost, you know, at the end of the game when Norwood's field goal misses, up until that game, really, throughout the 1980s, most of the Super Bowls were blowouts that I remember growing up as a kid. And then we had a few here or there, but really for the last 25 years, we've had more good than bad Super Bowls. Last night was a bad Super Bowl as far as the aesthetics of the game and the scoreboard and just blowout right away. I mean, at halftime, it was 24-0. It was a good Super Bowl, though, for a lot of people who just wanted to see the Chiefs lose. And that's what happened. And how did they lose? Well, I think we saw last night what we saw a couple of years ago when the Chiefs lost to the Buccaneers, 31-9. And in that game, the Buccaneers really just got after Patrick Mahomes. He was a little hobbled in that game, I think, but whatever. They got after him. And that was, remember, after that game, that's how you got to get to Mahomes. That's how you got to get to Mahomes. And that was after the Bills had made the AFC Championship against the Chiefs that year. And that was the talking point going in. You got to get a better pass rush. That was not the year they signed Von Miller, though. It wasn't until after the next year when the Bills lost in the championship game to the, they lost in the AFC Divisional 13-second game. That, after that is when they signed Von Miller. But it's the same situation. And look, I'm right there with all of you. I'll say it this way. I think there's two things that need to be blended here. There's a lot of nuance that needs to be involved here. Because I'm going to relate this to the Bills, as a lot of you have. And of course, right? I mean, that's the team you love. That's the team you follow. That's the team we cover here and I talk about on a daily basis. But there's a lot of nuance here. I've seen, you know, the word, oh, it's just such an indictment on what the Bills have done. I think that's a pretty strong word. I mean, the Eagles are all time, I think, you know, defensive front, what they're able to do and how talented they are and how good they are. It's kind of an indictment on the rest of the league, if you want to say that way. But no doubt, the Bills are certainly not good enough there. And they haven't been. And once again, they have to find another way to do it. It doesn't have to be one extreme or the other. Again, let's talk about those little margins. That's the little margins. I was thinking back to that game the Bills played 2 weeks ago in Kansas City. The Bills didn't play a good game. They didn't. Kansas City played better. The Bills got outcoached. The Bills got outplayed. But despite all that, they were still within 3 points at the end of the game. Right? I mean, despite having things not go their way, maybe a couple calls, whatever, and Josh Allen not playing well in the first half, and the defense playing poorly and not getting able to be able to get to Patrick Mahomes, they were still within 3 points of beating the Kansas City Chiefs. That's not a solace. That's not for me to tell you, oh, yeah, everything's okay. I am going to tell you they're still a good team and they'll continue to be good and be knocking on the door again. But it just goes to show you how dominant the Eagles were last night and really how they've kind of been for most of this year. They're not perfect. The Eagles weren't a perfect team this year. They had a lot of drama off the field, but even on the field. You go back and take a look at the Eagles season and how it unfolded. They were really, really good all year. They did lose the Washington Commanders on a night game, 32-21. Who would have thought the Commanders were going to have the season they had and then ultimately play each other again in the NFC Championship? And then towards the end of the year, they lost a couple of games, one to the Cowboys, one to the Saints. And I have to remember here, was Hurts even playing in one of those games either way? They weren't perfect, but they were damn good all year. I mean, they beat the Lions, the Vikings, the Commanders, Packers, Steelers, Texans, playoff teams here. And give them a lot of credit. They deserve to win last night. But there is certainly still, to get back to what I was saying about the Bills and relating it, there is certainly still a perspective here of you have to get better up front to get pressure on the quarterback like a team like the Eagles were able to do. I don't know if you can attain that level, though. Yes, that's the goal. That's the goal. I don't know if you can get to where they were. They were destroying Patrick Mahomes last night. There was a sequence in the game, and I tweeted about this last night during the game. There was a sequence during the game that Mahomes, on two straight plays, was sacked. This was, I think, in the second quarter. Two straight plays, he was sacked. So know what they did on third down? They got him to roll out. They said, well, we can't keep him in the pocket. He's going to get sacked. We cannot block these guys. So they moved the pocket on third down. You know what happened on that play? Because they had to move the pocket and he rushed a throw, they had good coverage, pick six the other way. So because of the two sacks, it forced them to do something different on offense, turns into an even worse result for them. So they get the ball after the next kickoff. They don't even want to throw the ball. First down, run. Second down, run. Now you're in third and long. And because it's third and long, here come the Eagles pinning their ears back, another sack. It was just compounding and piling up the pressure. It really forced the Chiefs to completely play a way different game than they wanted to play. And that's not Vic Fangio's scheme. Some of it is, of course, he's a coach. He deserves some credit. They have some dudes, man. They have dudes. They have talent. They have players. I know. You want the Bills to have those. Every team in the league wants that. Every team. 31 other teams are going today. How do we get that? How do we have what the Eagles have? You also have to be careful, though. Here's the nuance. Of being prisoners of the moment. Yes, it's great what they have. And it's not the entire team. They do a lot of things well. And you have certain restrictions all over the place on how you can go about acquiring those players and getting them. I say, though, you do what you can this year to go out and get a Myles Garrett, get a Max Crosby if he's available, whatever. I mean, Josh Sweat, who dominated last night with 2.5 sacks, I tweeted at one point, Josh Sweat's going to be a free agent next month, which he is. And then by the end of the game, I'm like, yeah, he's going to be way too pricey. Yes, he's very, very, very good player. But I don't think the money he's going to get on the open market might be, like, to me, overpaying now. Don't be a prisoner of the moment. Because now, because of his performance last night, teams are like, we want that. We'll pay whatever it takes to get it. Maybe that's the Bills. They say, I don't care. I got to pay him. But after last night's performance, he'll probably have a market value that's even way higher than even I would want to go for a guy like that who has had 33 sacks over the last 4 years, 25.5 sacks over the last 3 years. He had 8 this year. He had 11 a couple years ago. It's a nice player. Probably a little bit better of a pass rusher than Greg Rousseau. But, and you're getting more out of that, same kind of body, but not like, oh my God, you have to pay him whatever he can command. That's being a prisoner of the moment. Don't do that either. I want to get your thoughts on what you saw yesterday, what you thought about the game, whatever is on your mind about it. Going to get some perspective today from a couple of different football minds that cover a couple other teams, but also are dialed in on the NFL draft. Going to have Evan Lazar join the program. at 10:30. We've had Evan on a lot. He covers the New England Patriots. He also covers the NFL draft, patriots.com, Catch 22, Patriots Catch 22 pod. Really great at what he does. Get his thoughts on last night, but also because the Bills are reportedly hiring Mike Pellegrino, who has been with the Patriots for the last 10 seasons. And he's been their cornerbacks coach. I don't know exactly what he'll do with the Bills. Probably nickel coach, because the Bills had Scott Booker depart for, ironically, the Patriots. So be like kind of trading coaches. It might be an indication, another one that we've seen here, that the Bills may be moving towards a different type of philosophy and scheme on defense. Meaning maybe a little bit more aggressive, a little bit more man-to-man, something a lot of you have wanted to see. We actually saw more of that this year from the Bills. But Evan Lazar is going to join us at 10:30. Going to get his thoughts on the draft as well. And then John Ledyard, who does a great job covering the draft, has for many years. Now you can always listen to John, of course, with Tampa Bay Trey. They are on the Audibles and Analytics pod. And he's all over the draft. Covers the Bucks, also the Steelers. He grew up in Pittsburgh, still follows them very closely, talks about them a lot. But we'll get thoughts on a lot of things from both those guys. 10:30 is Evan Lazar. 11 a.m. is John Ledyard. My apologies. I'm just getting over being sick. I had a bad weekend. But that's okay. Made it better last night. I'm sure a lot of you have been there this week. I've heard it from a lot of people. Kind of ran through the house last week. It was the kid. Then it was me. Then it was the wife. I'm just getting out of it. Now, you ever had that, like, where you feel really good? You're like, I just got to get over the finish line. So that's today. So help me out today. You can give me a call at 803-0550, looking for your thoughts on this game. And if you want it, how it relates to the Bills or whatever, we can do that here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you today on a Monday. We can call it a, Buffalo Football Monday, a Super Bowl post Monday, a feeling really good the Chiefs lost Monday. Whatever it is for you, let's get out to the phone lines. Michael in Atlanta is first up. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Sal. Hey, I hope you feel better. Real quick, I'll get to my football stuff. So back in July, I started doing chopped garlic. One clove, chopped garlic every day. Let it sit for 8 to 12 minutes. Drink it down with some water. Man, my wife's been sick 3 times, my daughter 4 times, and I've gotten nothing in this household.
Wow. You got the remedies, buddy. You got the remedies. There you go. I'm feeling better today. Luckily, it hit a weekend where we didn't have as much going on, so I was able to rest a little bit more this weekend than normal. But, you know, it's that whole thing, like you think you're over the hump, and then you still got a little bit. It just kind of sucks.
And I'm telling you, man, check out that raw garlic thing. Even University of Rochester did a study.
It'll also keep the vampires away, I hear, Mike.
Exactly, and your friends.
All right, buddy.
Hey, so real quick, on the Bills game from 2 weeks ago, I know I mentioned it, and I agree. I've agreed all year long they needed help on defense. I was worried about, you know, the lack of that extra one or two pieces that they need. And again, they performed at that super high level, and that's why Josh got that MVP, you know, because they did so much with what little they had on offense and defense, but especially on offense and not having the pieces. But anyhow, I still think 2 weeks ago, though I'm not going to excuse, I still think they played two teams. I still think they played the Chiefs and the Steelers on the same day. You know what I mean by that. But getting back to what happened yesterday, I feel great. I thought I was a nice guy, but it just felt so good to see the Chiefs lose and all those sour pusses on the sideline with their hanging their heads. I loved watching that. So I wanted to add that. But I do think that they get that that guy on defense, a little help, one or two extra big body strong guys on the defensive line, it's not so much they need to revamp the whole defensive line, but I think even one guy elevates everybody else because you can't double team everybody. So you have one more guy, you know, and I sure hope it's Myles Garrett. That'd be great, or Crosby, but either way, just that one guy changes a lot of dynamics. I wanted your thoughts on that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you could definitely, I agree with that. I mean, the Bills' philosophy over the years has been kind of, you know, have its 111th, right? Everybody does their job, and you don't have to have that guy. But they've tried, and they went out and got Von Miller, which I still say to people, like, Von Miller, you have to understand the nuance, again, of why they did it when they did it. Did they overpay? If you want to say that because of the future part of the contract, for sure. Like, we knew that 3 years in, $20 million a year was going to be too much for his age. But you brought him in to help you win a Lombardi over the first couple years he was there. And, man, he was unbelievable until he got hurt in Detroit. And they were paying a lot of money. And now they're paying for that. And he was still pretty good this year. Not $20 million good, but he was still pretty good. But they took a swing. I respect that. I don't know why anybody wouldn't. You want them to do that now, right? I mean, you can't have it both ways. If you want them to take a swing, it's going to cost you a lot, whether it's assets or money. But it's you're trying to win a Super Bowl. And I think you have to do something like that because that one guy, and they kind of changed that philosophy of that one guy could be your game record that everybody has to focus on, as you're saying, Mike, and then it elevates everybody else, hopefully. Let's go to CJ in Buffalo. Hi, CJ.
Hey, how you doing, Sal?
Good.
Good. Hey, real quick, I don't even know if it's possible, but after watching the game last night, I came up with a thought. What would it be like to not sell the farm? I'm not saying bleep them picks, but go all in for a known commodity in Myles Garrett. It would give up some draft picks. I know what it costs. But also add Khalil Mack out of free agency and release Von Miller, who I think is $16 to $17 million, that relieves us from the cap, gives us a little moving room. I just want to know what you thought about that, if possible.
Well, I think the mechanics of all that would be really tough, first of all. I don't know how much Khalil Mack is going to cost at his age, though. I mean, you're already – he's what, 33, I think? And people were upset when the Bills, you know, got Von Miller at that age, essentially. But either way, let's just say, okay, hold on. I do want to look at this. Dead money. To do that with Von, by the way, it might have to be a post-June 1 cut. That's your saving now, $17 million, as you said. That's post-June 1. You don't even get that money freed up until June 1st if you do that. So that's very tough to do. So the mechanics of it, if you release Von Miller before June 1st, you're taking on $15 million in dead money, CJ, and you are giving yourself $8.3 million in cap relief. That's fine. The mechanics of that might be a little difficult, but sure. I mean, and then the other part of it is, you know, the assets you're giving up for Myles Garrett, I mean, I don't care at this point. Go do what you got to do, right? I mean, I'm with you there. I think, though, it's a little too much to ask what you're saying because I don't know what Khalil Mack's going to command either because Myles Garrett, you know, he'll cost a little money too, and eventually you're going to have to pay him. We'll see, you know, what approach they take. I'm not sure. I love the fact of adding two guys, though, CJ, I do, whoever that is. Let's go to Nikki in Connecticut. Hi, Nikki.
Hey, brother. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I'm a lifelong Bills fan. And thank you for taking my call, by the way. Sorry.
Yep.
I'm a lifelong Bills fan. And admittedly, you know, after Kansas City, you know, took that game and, you know, everybody can feel different about it. Personally, I feel like we got hold, but it is what it is. I wasn't going to watch the game last night. You know, my wife talked me into it. She said, man, you love football. Think about the sport as a whole, you know, instead of just the teams and just enjoy it. So I say, you know what, fine. You know, I take her advice. And I don't regret it. I was so happy I watched the game. I feel like, personally, for myself as a fan and watching these games, I feel like it was just poetic justice. I would have felt even better if they would have been left on zero and a 50-burger would have been left on them, if you ask me, you know. But taking away the fan perspective and going into the nitty-gritty of the game, one thing I will say is there's a lot that I think the Bills can take from this game and look at how Philly played Kansas City, but just play the game as a whole. I mean, the fact that they didn't even blitz one time to have that much pressure from the corner rushers, and it was just amazing. Like, the defense, I feel like I love our offense. I think we can match anybody any given day, any given Sunday. But the way that defense held it, I think there's a lot we can learn from that. And it's hard for me to say that because, you know, we look at Sean McDermott as a defensive coach, but, you know, we got to call a spade sometimes. So I hope they take last night's game. Maybe they look at some video and they say, maybe this is what we need to sign. Maybe this is what we need to draft. I mean, is it that – who's that person that's calling out of Cleveland? Maybe we get him.
Yeah, Myles Garrett. Listen – Good points, Nikki. I mean, you got to have the players, though, to do that in order to get home. And I think that's the point here where, yeah, you can – I mean, it is a defensive coordinator's dream to be able to get home with four like that last night. They didn't even blitz, and they did, because they dominated their offensive line. By the way, good tweet from our buddy Joe Marino, which I retweeted here. And this goes on the heels of all of this talk about, oh, my God, Brett Veach, Kansas City, they're unbelievable drafting. They know, my God, Hall of Fame drafters here, right? And I've said for the last few weeks, Like, they have a lot of misses, too. Kansas City has a lot of misses. The difference is some of their hits have been really good hits, right? Trent McDuffie's been amazing, and they traded up for him and got him right before Kyrie Elam, and that's been great. Worthy was terrific last night. I still don't think Worthy is this undeniable, oh my God, great draft pick. He had 500 yards receiving this year, and it didn't go great all year until, you know, down the stretch, which seems like it's working a little bit more. But yeah, Creed Humphrey, really, really nice player inside. They've had a lot of really nice picks. Karlaftis, no doubt, no doubt. They've also had a lot of misses, and I pointed them out. Sky Moore and Clyde Edwards-Helaire and last year's first-round pick, his name escapes me right now. But Joe Marino just posted this morning on Twitter, and he's right. He said, if you can't see how Chiefs GM Brett Veach's miscalculations at offensive tackle, edge rusher, and corner got exposed last night, I don't know what to tell you. He's a great GM, but the flawless portrayal of him has been ridiculous over the last few weeks. I agree, Joe. Prisoners of the moment. These guys, these couple players are better than the guys I got, so that means that their GM and coach are so much better, right? That's what we do sometimes. Howie Roseman has put together an unbelievable roster with the Eagles, what they have. And that's with a Jalen Hurts quarterback he's not elite, right? He's not in the Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow category. He's damn good. But he's Super Bowl MVP now. Anyway, good tweet from Joe there. We'll take a timeout. Evan Lazar up next from Patriots.com, Catch-22 podcast. We'll talk about the Bills' new reported hire, Mike Pellegrino, at corner. Does that mean the Bills might start shifting a little bit towards man-to-man? What is his pedigree? And we'll talk a little NFL draft with Evan Lazar up next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.